Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan is how you can listen to the show day in and day out on your radios. Of course, radio.com, the app, always a must. You can rewind now. Great function for you. Just use the thumb and go back in time. Skip around if you'd like. By the way, the Redskins are going to be losing Eric Flowers. He did hit the market, and guess what, Danny? He got $10 million a year.
He got snatched up?
3 years,
wow.
$30 million for a guy that was almost out of the league last year.
Good for
him. The Miami Dolphins to play guard. Attaboy, Eric Flowers. We will let you know at the end of the hour which of the breakfast foods is going to win our poll today at Grant H. Paulson. A poll a day keeps the doctor away during the quarantine times. French toast, pancakes, waffles, or biscuits and gravy. Your best breakfast item on the menu. But we got more pressing things to get to right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Want to welcome onto the show the Redskins player rep, Nick Sundberg. The CBA has been ratified. It was approved by about 50 yes votes,
really
more
close
than no votes. A little over 1,000 votes yes, over 900 votes no, and somehow 500 players chose not to vote. Nick Sundberg is with us on G&D. So, Nick, first, your reaction to the fact that the CBA passed and that you guys have peace now with the league and the association through 2030.
First off, there's a lot to unpack there. So, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Very good.
Biscuits and gravy, and congratulations, Eric. Those are just things I had to get out of the way real
good
quick.
Items,
yeah,
yes.
$10 million for Eric Flowers. It's a worthy congratulations. Biscuits and gravy, not as good as French toast, but you're allowed to vote, so go for it.
Right. This is a democracy, right?
It is. But it passed, man. It went through. So you guys have a CBA.
Right. You know, as a voting rep, you know, when we were sitting in Indy, kind of debating on whether or not we wanted to send it to the players, that was one of the reasons I voted yes. I wanted every player to have a vote. I wanted to see where guys, you know, kind of stood on all of these issues. I wanted guys to get informed and make a decision for themselves instead of just having, you know, 30 guys in a room making a decision for 2,000-plus guys. And, you mentioned, you know, 500-plus or 500 players didn't vote. That number has moved around so much over the last few weeks. I haven't been able to get an accurate number of exactly how many voting members we have. First, it started at 2,100, then it bumped to 23, then 24. Now we're over 2,500, and this is so I don't know how many guys actually didn't vote, but the number keeps rising. So I'm just happy that we had over 2,000 votes, or almost 2,000 votes, whatever it was. But it was super close. I'm happy that it – to be honest, I'm happy that it passed. The work stoppage is – I mean, I think I've been pretty clear about this – is the last thing I want to put our members through. So that's just kind of how I stand.
Nick, how would someone not vote on something that so directly impacts them?
I mean, maybe guys are on vacation, not checking email, or just, you know, trying to cut themselves off from social media for a couple of weeks and didn't realize that this important time was coming, you know, to a head right when it did. I'm sure there were other guys who thought, you know, I don't know enough about all of these issues to make an informed decision, which is frustrating in itself, because there's so many guys that are willing to lend knowledge to forward them information to get everybody on the same page with what this deal does and doesn't have. I'm not sure, but you know, I can think back to my second year, and you know, after the lockout in 2011, we had a vote, but they came into every team meeting room and we raised hands. And to be honest, I don't even remember that. That was 9 years ago, right? But I'm not sure how I would have approached this entire situation if I was 21, 22, 23. I would love to say that I'd be more informed, but I wasn't very informed in 2011 either.
Nick Sundberg with us here on Grant and Danny. You obviously know him. He's our buddy, Redskins player, also the union rep for the team. Why do you think the vote was so close, Nick?
That's a good question. I think there were a lot of guys, a lot of very loud no's and a lot, some very loud yeses. The loud no's tended to be very big name players whose voices carried a lot of weight. And I think some locker rooms, the locker rooms of those guys just saw their leaders, you know, on the field and in the locker room, you know, coming out and saying like absolutely no right away. And so they just, I'm assuming that a lot of young guys just said, okay, that's how he feels. I don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers. I'm going to do the same thing that he does. But I also think a lot of guys wanted to take this thing to expiration to see how much power we have and to, you know, not just dip their toe in the water, but jump all the way into a full-fledged strike and to see if we could really remap the landscape of, you know, how the NFL and the NFLPA work together. I wasn't one of those guys, so it's tough for me to jeopardize – you know, guys that, you know, that are towards the back end of their careers right now, where if we do have a strike, their career is probably over, or guys whose careers never get started because of a strike, that sort of thing. The lost wages during the strike, all of the negatives that come with that situation were too kind of overpowering for me to jump, go all in on that.
Nick Sundberg on Grant and Danny. All right, let's get into where you think you guys benefit the most from this new deal as players. Give me the things that you're happiest about. And then what were the major concessions that you wish would have gone differently, you wish you could have worked out that you weren't able to, where you say, this deal's not excellent here?
All right, sure. So just to put it a little bit in perspective, in 2010, the minimum salary, I know we're going to throw out some big numbers here, but minimum salary was $320,000 in 2010. In 2019, it was $495,000, so an increase of $175,000. In this new deal, the minimums go start at $610,000, and by 2030, I guess it's 11 years later, are at $1,045,000, I believe. So $1,065,000, an increase of $455,000 over the life of the deal instead of $175,000 like we had in the last 10-year deal. I think that's a big step forward for minimum players, for young guys getting more money in their pocket earlier in the deal, having a little bit more leverage, you know, getting into a second contract, that sort of thing. Kind of bringing everybody in the bottom quadrant of our pay scale up. I think there are a ton of really, really good benefits that are going into this. Increases in every single former player's salary pre-2012. So if you played in the 60s and 70s, a lot of those guys, you know, per month, per year that they played, pension is like $168. Some of them are, you know, in the 180s, low 200s, but, the closer to now you played, the higher that number is. We took every player pre-2012 and made them $550 a month for every year they played. So a ton of guys are getting a big increase in pension. There was also this group of players, like just over 600 guys who played pre-94 who never got pension because they played 3 years in a time that you needed four to vest. We gave all 600-plus of those guys pension. I mean, that's a big deal. We took all of the increases, or there's a ton of increases right now, for, you know, 401k and annuities and post-career education, your HRA going up, things like that, that I think are big. We were able to talk the owners into jointly creating 32 medical facilities in the 32 NFL cities where they're going to start pretty basic. And I think this is something that as leadership in the PA, we need to monitor very closely the progress of these. But basically, any former player is going to be able to go in and get You need a physical, blood work, imaging. They're going to start pretty basic with some rehab, hopefully by, I think that they said September 2021 was the goal date for these to be open and fully functional, but they should evolve into fully functional medical surgical centers where, you know, 15 years down the line, if you're a guy who needs a hip replacement or a knee done, or you need a shoulder surgery or whatever, you can walk in and that's where you get it done, and it's free through the PA and the NFL. You talked about what do we not like. Yeah, we don't have lifetime healthcare. But this, I think, is a big step in the right direction when it comes to taking care of guys post-career, giving them other options instead of just, hey, you can, you know, use your HRA, to pay your premium for your insurance. I think we took some big steps when it comes to player safety and, you know, time on the field and training camp and those sorts of things. We now have a limit that previously didn't exist on the amount of padded practices in training camp. We put a limit on the amount of joint practices that a team can have, because there were certain teams out there that were traveling to 3, 4, 5 teams and having 2 or 3 joint practices with each one all in one training camp, which is outrageous. Things like that. The amount of time you can spend on the field has been reduced because, you know, we tried to look at, yes, we are adding a game, but can we reduce the amount of time that you spend on the field to make it look like, and the amount of total plays that you practice all year, so that that 17 actually looks like 16, you know, in the long run, things like that. Nobody, you know, again, you asked what we don't like. Nobody wants to play a 17th game. I think that's pretty obvious. There are also a lot of buzzwords out there like franchise tag. We would have loved to have gotten rid of the franchise tag. Unfortunately, that was something that the owners just stood firm on. I think the drug policy is something that has needed to be revamped for a while now. That got a complete overhaul, which I'm really happy with, and I think a lot of guys are too. So to name a few, that's where I'll start.
That's thorough stuff, Nick. Always appreciate the time, dude, and enjoy this quarantine, man. I'm sure you're pouring through video games and Netflix.
You know I'm doing my best.
We'll see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, man.
Nick Sundberg, the Redskins player rep, giving us some expertise and the opinion of one of the players going through this and exactly why this deal went through, who it benefits. And again, I just can't get past over 500 players didn't vote. And so it's still odd to me that people don't vote in like our federal elections, but you can make the case that you are way more directly affected by this yes or no vote for your job in the league and your union than you are for who the president of the United States is.
Yeah, imagine we had to vote for stuff around here. You know what I mean? And maybe like, nah, I don't see it. You know, it's pretty stunning to me. I'm with you.
One of the league's most dynamic running backs over the last few years just got traded. We will tell you who next on Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. Nobody, and I mean nobody, trades for running backs like general manager Bill O'Brien.
3 in the last 8 months.
Carlos Hyde, now a free agent. Duke Johnson, under contract. David Johnson, under contract. The former Cardinal has been traded to the Houston Texans, and they're going to pick up a bunch of the cash on David Johnson. So because they've got 2 pending free agents, including Carlos Hyde, leaving the organization. By the way, Lamar Miller, also a free agent.
Right.
Their backfield this year will be the D. Johnsons, David and Duke at this point.
No relation. David Johnson due $10.2 million base salary this year and $7.95 base in 2021. He's now really 3 years removed from being excellent. He had an unbelievable season, but it was in 2016 where he had 1,240 yards on the ground, 880 yards through the air, 2,118 yards total with 20 touchdowns. Was the most dynamic running back in the sport that year. Did more than Le'Veon Bell, did more than everybody else combined. Not combined, but he was unbelievable. But that you're chasing a ghost now. Hasn't been himself for a few seasons.
This is insanity. Hit the sounder, Thommy. We've got our first stunner of the NFL offseason.
What?
And it just came down the pike. I'm just confirming that this is the right Adam Schefter account.
Not Adam Schefter.
With the blue check mark. Everything looks like it's checking out. The Houston Texans are trading DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals, according to Adam Schefter. I repeat, DeAndre Hopkins, perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL, being traded by the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals. The same two teams, by the way, that just did this deal for David Johnson to go to Houston. This is a different trade, I'm imagining, because we just heard about the compensation involving the draft pick in the previous deal. DeAndre Hopkins caught 104 passes for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. 1 year before that, he caught 115 passes for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns. 2017, 96 for 1,300 and 13 touchdowns. He's basically caught an average of 100 passes dating back to 2015.
He's incredible.
And for four of the last five seasons, he's had at least 1,300 receiving yards. He's averaged around 10 touchdown catches in that time. DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals.
Hello, Kyler Murray.
To play with Kyler Murray. Wow.
Everybody who wasn't calling the Houston Texans should be ashamed of themselves. One final screw you to Bruce Allen. You should have been calling the Houston Texans about Trent Williams. Let him go back home. You could have gotten a king's ransom for him. Instead, they picked Laremy Tunsil and gave up multiple first-round picks. Not having a GM is malpractice. Take advantage.
Wait for it. This is the same deal. Rap Sheet says the Cardinals are getting Hopkins in the deal for David Johnson.
I just threw up a little bit.
A source said. Bill O'Brien. Oh, my. Wow, they're trading one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Hey, y'all, I'd like an example of why a coach shouldn't also be a GM. Can you guys provide one? The Houston Texans.
So I'm looking up Hopkins' contract just to see where we're at here. It's not crazy.
No, it's not outrageous.
DeAndre Hopkins' contract is pretty good, actually. He makes $12.5 million this year for one of the best wide receivers in the league.
That's cheap.
That is bargain shopping. That is $5 DVD bin stuff. 2021, $13.5 million. That's nothing. 2022, $13.9 million.
By comparison, Michael Thomas, who's setting records every time he steps on the field, he's got more catches than everybody else. $19.25 is his average salary, right? So this is nothing. This is a great player who's being paid well, but not outrageous. This is not bank breaking. This is crazy to me.
Let's get the latest and some more details from Pete Medhurst over at the update desk.
And the breaking sports news, powered by Radio.com and brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. According to John McClain, it's DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick going to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick this year. And a fourth-round pick next year. Again, DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick to the Cardinals for running back David Johnson and a second-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year. The NFL league year is well underway, friends. Breaking news from The Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Grant, back to you.
Pete, thank you, buddy.
Oh, my God.
So wait a second. So, this trade makes no sense to me.
Now, we have an industry term for this, guys. I don't want to get too fancy with jargon. This is something we call a bad trade.
If I was a Texans fan, I would be apoplectic. I would be completely livid about this. So, I'm going to quote what Pete just said here from John McClain then. Hopkins and a fourth-round pick to the Cardinals.
Yep.
You get back David Johnson at a position that doesn't matter that much, running back.
And he hasn't been good in 3 years.
Been hurt for a couple of years. A second-round pick, which is okay. I mean, some decent value, but a second-round pick could easily mean nothing. It could be Trent Murphy. It could be Jarvis Jenkins. It could be anything.
Second-round picks are good.
You're getting it from the Cardinals, so it is an early-ish second-round pick. And a fourth next year. Fourth-round pick is next to nothing. It's a special teams linebacker. It's Cole Holcomb. It's maybe a guy that doesn't make your roster. Hopkins, arguably the best wideout in the league, and a four for David Johnson, a two, and a four. Somebody has to help me here. Tyrann Mathieu, by the way, who's been there and done that. I mean, he is, of course, now one of the better DBs in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs, but he was in Houston. He was in Arizona. He's been in both of those places. He tweeted at the deal, SMFH, shaking my bleeping head. people are in shock. What a blockbuster.
Oh, my God.
Because you got two big names. Kind of a bombshell deal that you don't really typically see in this league. It makes no sense, though.
Well, here's where it makes sense.
How does Bill O'Brien run a team?
If you're in the mid-80s, like the 1980s, and you want to stockpile running backs because that's like the marquee position, maybe this makes sense. I mean, they're now responsible for all David Johnson's salary. So it's not just a salary dump. And Hopkins, I guess, wanted a new contract, and Houston didn't want to be the one to provide it. I mean,
by the way, he's under contract for 3 more years on his current deal at a really affordable rate. Yeah. I think if you're Arizona, you could just tell him tough cookies, and it's harder to hold out now with the new CBA than it was before.
Yeah, so maybe you say, hey, you got to play this one, then we can work on an extension.
Perhaps they will give him an extension right away. He's worth it.
Man.
Fallon points this out, too. The Cardinals, in this deal, in sending David Johnson, are getting the cap relief. The Texans are picking up the money on Johnson
to what you said
a few minutes ago.
I mean, think about this. The Cardinals went from, oh, God, we can't build our team because we got all this money committed to the running back spot. We had to sign Kenyon Drake to a transition tag. So when somebody offers him $12 million a year, we got to match that because of the great fit. We're going to have a huge amount sunk in our running back spot. We don't have good enough receivers for the development of Kyler Murray. What the hell are we going to do?
So Bill O'Brien must know that football is over. It just canceled and nothing matters, right? I guess I shouldn't even joke about that. But my God, this makes no sense. Again, if you're just joining us on Grant and Danny, DeAndre Hopkins traded from the Texans with a 4th-round pick to the Cardinals. The Texans take on the contract of David Johnson, the running back, who hadn't played much over the last couple of years. A 2nd-round pick and a 4th-round pick coming back to them. And we're just getting started. We're only an hour and 25 minutes into the tampering period where moves like this can be made. You're listening to G&D on 106.7 The Fan. What I can't get past as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, the number of teams that I have to imagine would have gladly given the Texans a 1st-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins as the beginning of a package. Like the Redskins as an example.
I would have.
If the Texans called the Redskins this morning and said, listen, guys, DeAndre Hopkins wants an extension, and we're taking that very personally for some reason. We don't want him around anymore. What can you give us? I would think the Redskins, now maybe not this year's one at number 2 overall, obviously, but they would say, hey, we can give you a number 1 next year, and we will give you an addition to that number 1, maybe like a number 3 and a number 4, something like that, over the next couple of seasons. To say we're not going to try to get 1st-round picks from the 7, 8, 9 teams that would probably give you one or more in the middle or the late part of the first round, but it's okay because we'll just go get David Johnson anyway. I can't grasp the plan here. And if it wasn't Bill O'Brien, I would kind of laugh at it, but it's honestly, I don't even care about the Texans. I live in D.C. It's frustrating to me because I don't understand why or how he runs an NFL club and how he thinks he's valuing the running back position like it's 34 years ago. I just don't get this.
It's but beyond that, everything he's done has been, this is why coaches shouldn't be GMs. It's win right now. He doesn't care about draft picks. He doesn't care about rookies. He doesn't care about salary scale. He doesn't care about anything other than how can I squeeze out another win? And that's a noble idea. But it's why you trade multiple first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. It's why you trade for, as you touched on, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, and now David Johnson. It's lunacy at this stage. I mean, it's Rick Smith steps away for personal reasons, right? That happens. And then instead of going, we need another GM instantaneously, let's just let the head coach, who's out for his own personal interest to improve his record, do it. You get these short-sighted kind of decisions. This is ridiculous.
Cam Hayward just had a funny tweet. He said, man, we need to start drug testing some of these GMs and coaches, LOL. Which GMs, Cam? Who are you talking about?
Who are you referring to, Mr. Hayward?
Anybody specific that you're referring to?
Where does he live?
Poor Deshaun Watson.
Mm.
I mean, to have been a fly on the dashboard in his car when he heard that break on the radio, or a fly in the room wherever he's sitting quarantined at his house right now to find out. He gets hopefully a text or a call from someone with the team to justify it or something, and he didn't find out on the news. But can you imagine Deshaun Watson?
No.
A chance to develop into one of the best players in the National Football League, one of the real bright star quarterbacks in this game. He's still only 24. Remember that.
You know, and that's the oldest 24-year-old ever, the way he's been beaten up.
Going into the fourth year of his career, 31 of the last 32 games the last two seasons he's played in. In fact, would have been 32 for 32 because I think week 17 they rested their starters. Mm. So he hadn't missed any time the last 2 years. He had 26 touchdowns, 12 picks this past year, 26-9 the year before. You know, just a real quality high-end quarterback. He's one of those guys. The numbers are never going to be great. You know, I don't really do the quarterback wins and losses thing, but he is a playmaker.
I love him.
And you have him on your squad, you got a shot. You saw it in the playoffs. They won a game, lost a game in the playoffs this year. But go out there and keep on trucking, man. No Deshaun Watson, but at least we got you another running back.
It's basically their offense is top 7 or 8 in the league when Will Fuller's
healthy. DeAndre Hopkins, I should say, yeah, for Deshaun Watson.
I know what you meant. When Will Fuller's healthy, they're dynamic and they're really good. When he's not, they struggle a little bit. They're basically his hamstring away from being a top-level unit on most weeks. You went from that to whatever the hell this is.
Doesn't this feel like, I mean, maybe I'm overrating this. I don't want to do hot takey, awful, you know, just scream on the radio about how dumb this trade is, and maybe there's something I'm missing. But it feels like a trade in fantasy football between like a guy who doesn't care that much helping out his buddy and a dude that's trying to win the league. And everyone gets mad and gets on a text chain about vetoing it. Seriously. Like, other NFL teams, if they could, would veto this trade.
This is what gets you kicked out of the league.
Sean McVay and Pete Carroll, the NFC West teams are like, wait a second.
What?
You don't get to give up a running back who never plays and a couple of picks that don't matter and get DeAndre Hopkins back. You don't get to do that. They vote to veto this trade.
Full salary. Everybody around the sport is going, you know what's a terrible contract right now? David Johnson, after they signed it, right? Imagine him. Imagine Bill O'Brien be like, you know who he should get in the market for is Jared Goff. He's way overpaid with low production. I mean, that's how egregious this is. David Johnson, as much as I loved him from, again, 3 years ago when he was really good, is an albatross. That contract sucks for whoever holds it. Houston opted into holding it. Purposely said that for us.
Since you brought it up, I could see you trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
Again, you're making joke.
No one's ever loved him more.
You're
Maybe
making
Bill
funny
O'Brien.
Jokes.
Who likes him more, you or B.O.B.?
I wouldn't do this, so it's Bill O'Brien. I think this is irresponsible. And again, I love David
you
Johnson.
You get so steamed up.
He won me a fantasy title. It's so important. It was important to have him.
Am I misremembering? Was it just top five, or did you name him your number one running back in the league going into this year?
No, it was top five, but we were doing who are the best running backs.
Yeah, we did the top five running backs in football, and you had David Johnson on your list going
still
into this
him.
Season.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill O'Brien might still like him more than you do. Here's your skill group now for Arizona around Kyler Murray, which, by the way, they could draft a wide receiver. I know a lot of people have linked CeeDee Lamb and some other guys to that team.
Yep.
I actually think they go tackle now. Their line stinks. I think they draft a left tackle, they replace DJ Humphries or move him over, and they protect Kyler Murray's blind side. But here's what you're looking at right now. Christian Kirk was a second-round pick last year.
Good little player.
Had some huge games.
Good little player.
Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Shifty, nimble little Andy Isabella in the slot with some guy named DeAndre Hopkins coming over as well. Add to all that at the tight end position. I think Charles Clay might be a free agent, but they brought in Max Williams from Baltimore. Kyler Murray's got some pieces. They're keeping Kenyon Drake, who they transition tagged. They still have Chase Edmonds at running back as well.
All of a sudden, right?
And
Arizona was frisky last year. They weren't any good, but they weren't an embarrassment. They weren't what they were 2 years ago, right, that led them to get the number one pick and then do the quarterback shuffle.
Let's go to Mike in D.C. who's been waiting a while to chime in on the NFL. I think he wanted to talk about the way to handle the 17th game on the schedule. But, Mike, I'm curious to get your thoughts, if you're a football fan, on this wacky deal the Texans have given up on DeAndre Hopkins.
It sounds like to me – oh, they're taking my call, guys. But it sounds like to me they could be getting one of the other wide receivers on the market, like the Brandon Cooks out there. The Rams are looking to deal him. The Texans might swoop in and grab him, and then they got a running back, a draft pick, and a good wide receiver.
Yeah, if this is the only move, it's irresponsible. If it's a precursor to something else, I still think it's bad.
Well, it's bad. But no disrespect to the call, and I'm keeping you on the line because you've been waiting a while. So hang on a second. No disrespect to his call, but he mentioned like Brandon Cooks. You could mention anyone. It's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
And you have him under contract for basically peanuts. There is no reason not to have him go out there and catch 100 balls for 1,400 yards next year. None. All right, anyways, you called in originally. I think you wanted to talk about the 17th game on the schedule.
Yeah, I think the 17th game on the schedule should be in-state rival game. So, in every 4 years, you might play that in-state rival twice. Like, you get the Redskins and Ravens every year. You get the Cowboys and Texans every year. The Steelers and Eagles every year. Some in every 4 years, you get them twice a year. And then with teams that don't have that in-state rival, you look at to see how far and distance they might be from each other, from another team at another conference, and you create that, and you let them play each other every year.
I actually love it.
I like that one.
I think it's really smart. Now, here's my question, and he covered this at the end. There's not always an in-state rival.
Right.
So is someone going to have to play someone nine states away?
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a makeup somewhere where it's not a good rival.
It's imperfect, but, I mean, there's a lot of places where – there's enough places where it fits where you could get into it, right? And especially if it's NFC-AFC. Because if it's a division rival where they're close, that doesn't help you all that much. But, like, in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Philly. Here, it's Redskins-Ravens. In New York, you could do – Giants, Bills. I mean, that kind of stuff, I think, would work really well.
And then you could do Vegas and San Francisco because they were Oakland. So it would seem weird now.
Yeah.
But you could do a little Bay Area thing.
I like that. I do. And there are enough rivalries that don't have to be geographic because of, like, quirky things like that that Tom talks about.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if there's 16 of those. Like, there's going to be, and we do this in baseball, there's going to be a series that no one cares about in interleague play.
Right.
It's like, these two teams? But I think the juice is probably worth the squeeze in the end because there's enough good to outweigh the bad.
Yeah.
I will tell you which breakfast food option won our first poll. We'll also get you ready for our movie that we're all watching tonight. We'll tell you what the Grant and Danny movie is going to be this evening. Plus, we got to hit the leftovers, including all the players doing great work financially and otherwise during trying times in the country. You're listening to The Fan. My faith in humanity, like so many of you guys, I think, always gets restored in moments like this when you see the good that people are doing, taking care of their neighbors, literally and figuratively. Zion Williamson pledging to take care of every arena worker in New Orleans at their facility, at their arena, throughout however long this hiatus goes on. Incredible. Kevin Love started this. There are other NBA players that have done it. Going through and naming them all is difficult, and I don't want to leave anybody out. But the players who did that, I know the Hornets as a team stepped up. Some of the owners have said, mm-hmm. Mark Cuban, I know Ted Leonsis, which is awesome locally.
That's very good.
They're going to take care of the employees who can't work at the arenas during this time, these hourly wage employees who are going to have a hard time getting by for their families. Some of the owners didn't, though. And rather than focusing on that, which a lot of people do because I think that's just society, I focus on the players who have stepped up to the plate, who have said they're going to do this. Nobody had to do this. Now, being a billionaire doesn't mean you owe anybody money or anything. Is it the right thing to do? I don't know. It's a decent, noble, wonderful thing to do for rich people to help out people who can't help themselves right now. And to Zion and Kevin Love and so many others, I applaud what they're doing in this time of crisis.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say, hey, just shut things down, right? Well, what are you going to do about X? And people that have the means to help with X are doing that by and
large.
J.J.
Watt
cool.
Donating, like, I think it was several hundred thousand dollars worth of, basically a million lunches worth or something.
Right.
For people that can't now eat as much as they would have, or kids that can't go to school and get their meals in Houston, in the Houston area. Amazing work.
Yeah, that stuff's really neat. Like, and I saw there's my good friends run D.C. Food Project, and they're tweeting out lists of places that, you know, where you can go and get lunch if it's, you know, kind of an emergency situation. They can't deliver everything, but I saw medium rare steak was looking for names of folks that are, you know, over 70 that otherwise couldn't go out to be able to deliver meals to them. Some of the food delivery services are waiving commissions, these kinds of things where people are pitching in. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes for something this extraordinary.
I hope we keep getting those stories because you need them. I'm sure you see some of the bad, sad, frustrating stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid and his brother who basically went all over, I think it was Tennessee, like stop to stop, and they stockpiled hand sanitizer and Lysol and literally went store to store with a U-Haul truck, bought as much as they could get, threw it into the back of the car to hoard it, and then their plan was they were going to go to social media, announce that they had it, post it on all the different sites like eBay and Amazon, wherever you can sell things and all these online markets, and they were going to make money back, and they were going to gouge people, except that Amazon and eBay and these sites are shutting down all the people that are price gouging.
Ban them
so
for price gouging.
So these dummies are now stuck with tens of thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer and Lysol. That's the opposite of the good that Zion's doing. And it doesn't seem like the story that I saw, they understood how shady what they were doing was, and they weren't particularly remorseful. But for every story like that, there are the good that you can focus on as well. But I just love the people like that that are trying to price gouge, they got shut down completely.
Instantly, yeah. There's one thing, you know, like where it's a smart investment, sort of prospecting, right? Where, again, I don't have an ethical problem with, you know, picking, I don't know, like you see some person you think might be president in 30 years and go, you know, that's my domain name for them because that's whatever, that's stupid money. This is in times of crisis and desperate need, you are stealing from people, basically. You're robbing people's ability to do that and taking advantage. That's very, very different to me. So, yeah, I'm glad those scumbags are out a whole bunch of money for buying up all the hand sanny.
No feeling in my body to wonder, oh, no, what are they going to do now? How are they going to? I don't care. I hope it sits in that U-Haul in your front yard. You got to buy a pod and take it out of the U-Haul and put it in a pod in your parking spot, and you got to look at it for years to come. I don't care. What they should do, honestly, is do a Robin Hood bit where they just start walking around handing it out to people. Why not?
Yeah, you're already out the money. You ain't getting it back. Maybe you could sell it at cost. Maybe.
I wonder how much they spent.
I hope it's thousands. I hope they're in debt now because
definitely was thousands. I mean, there's no doubt. But that was their master plan. We're getting shut down. All we did was have a smart plan. No, you had a messed up plan. This is not the time to start screwing over your neighbor.
Yeah.
This is when you help the people out around you.
Wasn't that basically the plot of the new Mad Max movie with Tom Hardy? Like the one guy, the one big bad guy had all the water? Like that was the whole point?
Right.
Don't do that. Don't be that guy from Mad Max.
You know what they say, the golden rule is, right? Buy up all the hand sanitizer and then charge people as much as you can for it.
Yeah, do unto others as they would gouge you, I believe.
Stand outside of Costco and scoop up all the merchandise as they unto you or something like that.
It was written a while ago.
NFL news of the day to just get you up to speed, and Chad's got you at the top of the hour. Austin Hooper, the Falcons tight end who hit the market, is going to be headed to the Cleveland Browns. The Cowboys are using the exclusive franchise tag on Dak Prescott for $26 million. Kirk Cousins, a two-year contract extension, $33 million per, fully guaranteed with the Minnesota Vikings. And the big news, DeAndre Hopkins of the Texans traded to the Arizona Cardinals for David Johnson and some draft picks going in both directions.
That's the deal, man. I still cannot believe that one.
The movie we're all watching tonight for tomorrow's breakdown in our movie club, The Big Lebowski.
Lebowski, the good advice.
Brandon Daniels, thanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.